In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. This week's Bible studies were an absolute blast because we got to be able to dig into the Word and really explore how the transformation of the Word can happen inside of us through the gift of the Holy Spirit. We began to look in one of the readings as we met a woman by the name of Lydia. Lydia was a wealthy, influential person in business. She was well known in her community and well respected. She was on a faith journey. Some would say she'd had it all, and others would say, what does it mean to have it all? The reality was for her that as far as worldly success, she was doing just fine, thank you very much. She was a dealer in purple cloth, which means she could afford to buy the richest of cloth and afford to dye those cloths purple and then sell them to the elite of the community. She was a person of faith. And in the midst of all of her success, she felt like there was still something missing. And as a person of faith, she prayed. And she would often go outside of town to a small, secluded area to pray. About the same time, God decided to poke Paul. I need you to go to Macedonia. You can imagine a typical male response. I don't want to. I need you to go to Macedonia. I'm not feeling it. I need you to go to Macedonia. All right, I'll get my shoes. Scripture indicates that Paul had to be prodded, poked, reminded, encouraged. Not that any of the women in this room know what I'm talking about. And the reality is that he showed up. He followed the guidance and direction of God, but he needed to be persuaded. Lydia didn't need to be persuaded. She was searching for God, a God that was searching for her. Did you catch that? That's so important. We believe that we're all searching for God, and the reality is God is searching for us, wanting to encounter us, wanting to be present with us, wanting to encourage us, wanting to support us, wanting to affirm us, wanting us to grow in the depth of our faith in the Spirit. And Paul and Lydia had a long conversation, and at the end of it, she was convinced of the transforming power of Jesus Christ, and she was baptized. She was so excited about it, she shared it with her household, and the scripture says, everybody in her household was baptized too. Boy, times have changed. Can you imagine going home and saying to all of your household, get in the car. You're all being baptized. I'll explain on the way. She was a woman of profound influence. They trusted her. They respected her. Now, take it easy on yourself, because the reality is it was a different time and a different place. But what we need to celebrate is one of these extraordinary women in Scripture who, despite all of her wealth and her influence and her power in her community, was searching for more, and the more was God's divine touch on her life. It's always exciting to me to hear about more women of faith in Scripture and how they offer the option of an example of how important it is to seek God out and allow him to seek us out, not just when we're in crisis, but at all times. Taking some time for self-care, stepping back, and using that time in prayer. The gospel today introduces the concept in a very powerful way of how the Holy Spirit plays a role in our lives. Now, I may never have told you this before, But we had a code word to answer all of our children's questions when it was inappropriate for them to ask the question. Let me back that up a little bit. If they would arrive in the room and Joyce and I were having a conversation, and they would say to us, "What are you talking about?" And our response would be, "Tweety Bird." And they would know that meant turn around and exit. We're in the middle of an important conversation. Months went by, and one of our children was especially irritated by this response. I mean, after all, at 10, you know everything. You are an adult in the making, and when adults talk and you enter the conversation, you should be completely and totally welcome, right? And in our opinion, the answer was no. You earn those privileges as you go along. Well, months and months go by, and one of my children entered my office at the church. And a parishioner was extremely angry with me, and she was screaming at me. And my child was absolutely shocked that this would happen and just stood there. And at the end, when she took a breath, my child said, "Oh my goodness, she's Tweety Bird." Code words, mystical words, spiritual words, words that don't quite make sense unless you understand the context. So what you need to know about the gospel today is Jesus is trying to respond to a question asked by Judas and two of the other disciples about who he was and how the Holy Spirit might work. And God gives them the good news, bad news message. Bad news, Jesus is leaving. Good news is the Holy Spirit's coming. And you can imagine the flood of questions. The Holy Spirit. How does that work on your behalf? And basically, Jesus' response was, "People who are in relationship with me do what I ask." Some of us remember that our relationships with each of our parents were very different. When my mom asked me to do something, I did it because I loved her. I would not want to disappoint my mother in any way, shape, or form. She could look at me and give me the eye, and every woman in this room has the eye. And if she gave me the eye and I sensed that she was disappointed, I would crumble. Now, Dad was a different situation. I simply wanted to avoid him. And I'm not sure it was so much about him as how I saw him. When your father's military and Air Force, I believed his first name was Sir till I was 8 years old. Yes, sir. Which, by the way, was the only appropriate answer, no matter what the question might be. Mom, on the other hand, had everything to do with a different kind of relationship. It was about love and respect. And Jesus is saying to the disciples, if you love me, if you respect me, you will do what I ask. And you will glorify the Father. But if you choose not to do what I ask, well, you know. And then he goes a little bit further and he says, I know I'm about to disappoint you. Humans get disappointed when people that they care about are removed from their lives. It causes tremendous issues of abandonment. Many of you have gone through it. When a parent or a sibling or a close friend dies, you often feel left alone and behind. So you can understand that the disciples were grieving the possibility that Jesus would leave them alone, particularly in the midst of the conflict and strife of the time. And Jesus says, wait a minute, hold on. The moment I leave you, at least in a very short time, the Holy Spirit will arrive and function as a teacher. Now, if you haven't got it over the last 4 years, I have deep and profound respect and affection for teachers. I have to admit, not all of them. But in my life, a good 90% of the teachers that I had were remarkable, courageous, loving people. And they understood the fundamental principle of teaching was to guide and direct and instruct and remind. You ready for this one? Remind. Did that sound a little peculiar? Remind. Remind you what the boundaries are. Remind you what the boundaries are. Now, you and I have experienced our inner sense of what is right and wrong for a really long time. And for some of us, our spirituality began with watching cartoons. And on the cartoon, maybe you'll remember this. Do you remember this one? A good angel on one side and the devil on the other. I had the feeling for a really long time that my good angel didn't have much to say. But the other one, man, there were some creative ideas. As soon as one of my parents said, don't do that, this one said, we got to try. We got to give it a shot. What this one forgot was that it didn't get disciplined. I did. You notice that this one's never around when you got to pay the consequences, right? Well, some people have that kind of theology. I would prefer to think of the Holy Spirit as something that lives in our essence of our being and reminds us and guides us and empowers us and directs us. As the Spirit guided Lydia to that time and place to encounter Paul, as the Spirit guided Paul to encounter Lydia, Jesus now says to his disciples, you are going to be given a peace that passes all understanding. A peace that when you step back from the situation and take a really deep breath. And I understand that during the time of COVID, it wasn't just one deep breath. It was 2 years of breathing. But when you begin to look around you and the world is constantly changing, you discover that if you are immersed in the Holy Spirit, if you are soaked in the Holy Ghost, if you return to that moment and say, oh Lord, through your Spirit, guide me, your life becomes a little more manageable. The focus becomes a little clearer. You have a deeper awareness of what's important and what's not. We learn so much from the disciples' questions. The first thing we learn is it's okay to ask questions. I love a Bible study around here where it's an hour and a half of questions. I'm not sure we have all the right answers, but man, we've got the right questions. And it's good and healthy to ask questions. But it's also then really important to be able to hear the answers and take time to process. Some of us need to take time to process information around us, right? What we learn from Lydia is really very simple. If you're a person of faith, position yourself to encounter the representative of God. Now, you may not be so impressed when you meet some of these reps. Paul may not have been all shiny and clean, but he was filled with the Holy Ghost and a good rep of what God wanted. Lydia was open to that possibility and willing to learn and to grow. I love spending time with people in their 80s and 90s. I always learn so much from them because they're still willing to learn and to grow. I remember sitting with my grandmother shortly before her passing. She had an interesting tendency that I have picked up and after today, I'm going to have to be very careful where I use it. She would do this. When my grandfather would annoy her. And then she would say, "Mac, be quiet." We all have tendencies to react. When in truth, God invites us to respond. And responding takes some time and some energy and some processing. Grandma could have said a lot worse. I believe she was capable. But she was an extraordinary woman of faith who measured situations out carefully and cautiously. Who are the women and men in your life that you know are people of faith? I want to encourage you this morning to get up close beside them and stay there, surrounding yourself and people that you know will affirm, encourage, and support you. This is always the time where somebody wants to say, "Yeah, but you need people to really pound you down and kick you around and make you feel horrible." No, I don't. P.S. No, I won't from now on, period. And neither should you. God wants you to be affirmed, encouraged, supported, challenged, asking healthy questions, but to know that you are loved and adored and respected and cared for just the way you are. And if nobody else has told you that yet today, let me be the first. Hallelujah. Amen.